And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Think and Sade, written by Paul Wright. Think and Sade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now, here's Zella Lane. What were you going to say, Zella?
I was just thinking. Friends, I wonder if your butcher is the helpful person mine is. We have a standing joke. Whenever I ask him what's nice, he always says, well, it depends on how expansive you feel today. Well, yesterday I wasn't feeling too expansive, so Bert suggested stewing lamb. And honestly, with the help of Crisco, I turned it into the most delicious dish. Here's what I did. Floured it first, then browned it nicely in piping hot Crisco. My, it looked good. And to that, I added a barbecue sauce, you know, onions, tomato sauce, and Worcestershire. And then let the whole thing simmer for about an hour. Well, you'd think my family hadn't eaten for a week the way they cleaned up that barbecued lamb. Enjoyed every mouthful they did. And you know how that tickled me. Now maybe you're leery of fried foods because of digestion. Well, really, you don't have to give that the slightest thought. There's nothing bothersome about Crisco fried foods. They're so light and crisp, so tender, they're bound to agree with the whole family, even with the children. Of course, you need never worry about anything Crisco has a hand in. Well, do you know Crisco is a digestible shortening? 9 out of 10 doctors vouch for that. You see, Crisco is pure and all vegetable, and it's the very finest quality you can buy. Remember that. You see, with Crisco, everything you cook tastes better, and it's digestible. And now, back to Vic and Sage.
Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 12 o'clock noon as we approach the small house halfway up on the next block now. And here, walking along the alley, homeward bound for dinner, we see Vic and young Russell. Let's fall in behind the gentleman and listen.
Bluetooth Johnson claims he's going to give Annabelle Hemstreet a gunny sack full of marshmallows on her birthday.
Does Bluetooth admire Annabelle?
Yeah.
Gunny sack full of marshmallows sounds like a sweet, delicate, and fragile gift.
Uh-huh.
When my girl's birthday rolls around, I think I'll present her with a coal scuttle full of gumdrops.
Yeah.
Or a trash bucket full of peppermint. Or an old sock full of oranges.
Go right ahead and enjoy your joke.
Not at all.
Speaking of Bluetooth Johnson, he's about the biggest, highest guy I know. Bluetooth Johnson would give you the shirt off.
Excuse me, this is where I live.
I know we live here.
Why don't you turn in, then?
Well, you start turning in.
All right, I will.
If I'd been the party walking on the inside, I'd have turned in way back there.
Sure you would. That's why the neighbors haven't got any grass in their yard.
They can't expect any red-out grass in February.
How about the sweet little newborn shoots sleeping just below the sod? Or waiting for February to close its wintry doors so that they can greet bright April with their emerald fire.
You just make that up?
I have an idea. It's a literary fragment that lurks in my subconscious. What was it the poet Keats said to the poet Browning when he held a dandelion beneath his chin to ascertain whether or not he liked butter?
I don't know. But I know that Miss Minot said in algebra class this morning to Raymond Searles when he walked up to
home.
The blackboard
and
drew
the
a picture of Happy Hooligan thinking nobody was watching.
We've arrived home. Open the door.
I am. Raymond didn't think anybody was watching and drew this picture of Happy Hooligan.
Hi-ho-to-ho.
Hello there, fellas.
Oh, you're always saying hello to somebody, enough to make a man scream.
That's right, Mom. I wish you'd quit saying hello. Makes me so mad.
Hey, don't go in out of the room.
Why not?
Mr. Sludge is in there.
He was in the telephone?
He's asleep.
Go on.
Yes, on the Davenport.
What's the idea?
He was up all last night with a toothache. Never slept a wink. Worn to a frazzle.
Well, why don't he go home and lay on his own Davenport?
Well, Miss Harris is doing some house cleaning today. Got the place all torn up. Mr. Sludge asked if he could... I said, no, Russell.
Dinner's not ready, is it?
No, but you stay out here.
I won't bother Mr. Sludge.
What do you want to go in there for anyway?
Well, I have to take our copy of Scott's Lady of the Lake to school this afternoon. I'd like to get it out of the bookcase before it slips my mind.
Well, will you be quiet? I don't want... Where are you going?
The newspaper in on the library table.
Do you have to read it this minute?
Well, I don't suppose I have to.
Well, go ahead, but for goodness sakes, don't wake up Mr. Sludge.
Well, what do I want to wake up Mr. Sludge for? Come on, Edith.
Use your tiptoes.
Use your tiptoes.
Okay.
There's nothing like using your tiptoes to while away a dull afternoon.
Mr. Cracker loves to tell about...
Cut out the talking.
Cut out the talking.
Okay.
Why, pushing me. Ain't that a man there on the Davenport?
Looks like it.
Who can he be?
I believe it's Mrs. Harris's roomer.
Not Mr. Scratch.
Sure.
Hello, Scratch, you big midwit.
Anybody can talk tough to a guy that's asleep.
You're afraid to.
Don't move a muscle, Mr. Sledger. I'll lose my terrible temper.
You address him in a very harsh manner.
Think of the things you could say to the world's champion heavyweight if you caught him asleep.
A person could be quite abusive. In fact, what can a turn over on your side, Sludge.
Yeah, when I say don't move a muscle, I mean don't move a muscle.
Better lay still.
You know the danger in this, Gov?
No.
Sleeping individuals often have their subconscious minds on the job. They tell them something, and it kind of goes in their ears and sticks in their brain. When they wake up, they remember every word.
That a fact?
The physiology teacher, Miss McFunnelson, says so.
Oh, she's a halfwit.
She's not either a halfwit. I'll tell you another astonishing thing about sleeping individuals. Sometimes you can ask them questions and they'll answer you back.
Try it on Brother Sludge here.
Well, I think he's sleeping too sound.
But try it anyway.
How are you feeling, Mr. Sludge?
Fine, thanks. And yourself?
You're a punk ventriloquist.
I never said anything. Try again.
Guess I won't bother. Say, Gov, remember one time you and me were standing here and Donahue was on the Davenport?
I just barely recollect the incident.
Seems to me somebody went to work and drew a mustache on his upper lip.
I do recall that, yes. Some miscreant did draw a mustache on poor helpless Mr. Donahue, who was our guest and entitled to decent treatment.
The pencil that had soft lead in it was used by the miscreant.
That circumstance comes to mind, too. Yes, a pencil with soft lead.
Do you happen to have a soft lead pencil in his vest pocket now?
I may have.
What would be interesting, for the sake of science, of course, to compare notes with the idea in mind of perhaps...
Hey, what's going on here?
Hello, Mom.
Kiddo.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Why are you standing here?
I was afraid Mr. Sludge was going to fall off the
What were you leaning over for, Russell?
When?
Just now.
I thought I'd seen it flying, Mr. Sludge. I was going to brush it off.
Flies in February, huh? Yeah, they're as thick as your undershirt. Go on back out in the kitchen.
I haven't got my newspaper yet.
Well, get it. Come on, Willie.
Well, I haven't got my Lady of the Lake out of the bookcase yet.
Both of you kindly finish your business in here, please.
Sure.
Going to dish up dinner in about 3 shakes, so don't fiddle.
Okay.
And don't talk.
Okay.
Something fascinating about a sleeping individual.
Yes, indeed.
Here we got a man. This man, when he's awake, is able to eat, drink, jump, kick, and scream.
A good description.
But here he's laying on a Davenport like a lump of lead. Got no more sense than a bicycle.
Less?
But if you stuck him with a pin, he'd jump right up and be as jolly as ever.
Oh, I just bet he'd be jolly. You got a pin?
No.
By luck?
I got a pencil, though.
A pencil?
Pencil with very soft lead.
Is that it there on that clip attached to your sweater?
Uh-huh.
It's very much like the sort of pencil that was used by those wretched mischief makers who drew a mustache on Mr. Donahue's upper lip the day he was stretched out on the Davenport.
Uh-huh.
I have no sympathy for such pranks.
Neither have I.
Anybody that sinks so low as to draw a mustache on a poor fellow that was asleep is nothing but a contemptible cad.
Worse than a contemptible cad.
Of course, if a guy feels like perpetrating such a miserable deed, I suppose it's his own business.
Yeah, that's true.
If he chooses to take the highway to crime and evil doing, well, that's up to him.
Naturally.
I'm a great stickler for mine and my own affairs. Why, if some unprincipled scoundrel came in here this minute and a pencil and drew a mustache and Brother Sludge, I'd never in the wide world move a muscle to interfere.
No?
I should say not.
Well, what you looking at?
The design on the wallpaper. Never paid much attention to it before.
How long do you plan on looking at it?
Oh, a moment or so.
Uh-huh.
A cruel, thoughtless person who decorated Pa Donahue's upper lip that time used a quick, light stroke.
Uh-huh.
Makes a more realistic appearing mustache.
Yeah.
He was especially careful also not to blow his breath in the face of the sleeping individual. Might wake him up.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir, that's a mighty attractive wallpaper design.
Yeah.
Next time I'm down in the wallpaper department of Miller's store, I believe I'll shop around for more such wallpaper. I'm quite a fancier, of
course.
Yes, my boy?
Somebody had been here drawing a mustache on Mr. Sludge.
No.
I just noticed.
Why, they're criminals. Let's see.
Not a bad mustache, either.
It's a good mustache. Fine mustache. But if I ever find the rotten crooks that perpetrated this outrage...
Hey, get in there.
Uh-oh.
You accuse me and I'll accuse you.
Is that the best way?
I think so. Person has to run around after you fellas like a nurse with a couple tiny beads.
We're on our way, kiddo.
I told you dinner was ready.
Uh-huh. Well, Margaret and myself got to arguing about...
Why didn't you come?
Well, Gov and myself were arguing over what's going on here.
We were just about how would you
like to go to somebody's house to sleep on their Davenport a little while and have people standing over you like...
Did you say dinner was ready, Stephen? Russell, your mother has announced dinner. Let's not stand around like oxen. You're a very inconsiderate boy. I'm extremely disappointed.
Who done this?
Oh, done what?
I say, who done it?
You mean...
You know what I mean. Who done it?
Russell.
Russell, I'm going to give you just...
Gov done it.
Gov drew this mustache?
Yeah.
stick for a grown-up man that's supposed to have a nickel's worth of common sense.
Russell did it.
Scott did it.
Don't hide behind Papa Scotch, George. Own up.
You own up.
Come on, tell your mother the truth.
You tell her the truth.
Pick who done this.
Russell.
Scott.
Russell.
Scott.
All right, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Come on and eat your dinner. See, my troubles are just beginning. I thought I had two men. Find out I got 2 5-year-olds. Come on.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now, here's Zella Lane.
You know, I was just thinking. This war has shown us there are some things we can do without and get along very well. But wouldn't you hate doing without Crisco? It's such a dependable shortening. And I know my family would miss those good things Crisco makes. Pies, for instance. Well, just this morning when I was putting up my husband's lunch, I slipped in a big piece of apple pie I'd made a couple of days ago. And you know, that Crisco crust was just as flaky and tender as anything. Of course, that's a test of good pastry. To have it come out light and crisp and stay really mouth-watering. You can always count on Crisco for extra special good pie crust. My, that's a comfort when pies are such a family treat. And remember how people once thought pie crust was hard to digest? That was before Crisco. Why, the pie crust you get with Crisco couldn't help but set right. It's so light and flaky, it doesn't bother even the youngsters. And that's what comes of cooking with pure, all-vegetable Crisco. It's digestible itself. Your doctor will probably tell you that. And there's no finer quality shortening. See for yourself. With Crisco, everything you cook tastes better, and it's digestible.
And don't forget to listen to They Can Say the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible.